for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. My name is Nia. I'm your host for today, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist, yoga teacher, and sound therapist at Illuminations. And we have a very, very special guest today and a very exciting topic. So the topic of today is challenging the stigma against men expressing emotions. I cannot tell you how important it is that we talk about this in this day and age, and I cannot wait to get started. But before that, let me introduce you to Adil. Adil is a men's coach, certified lifestyle and mindset coach, personal trainer, and motivational speaker. He has studied neuro-linguistic programming, Jung's masculine archetypes with Alexander Caudill, breathwork, meditation, and worked with master coaches in order to offer the range of modalities required to make long-lasting impact to their lives. His mission is simple: to heal the world of toxic masculinity. I absolutely love that. And welcome to the show, Adil. It's such an honor and pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. And it is my honor to be here. My pleasure. So thank you for having me.
I love the work that you're doing, and I can't wait to just dive right in. Let's just start with the basics, right?
Let's go.
Why do men find it challenging to just open up?
And that's a good place to start. If I can speak from experience, I found it difficult to open up because I didn't know how.
You didn't know how?
I didn't know how. For many years, I was in a way suppressed in how I could express my emotion because I was actually quite sensitive growing up and quite emotional as a kid. But my dad, for example, was a man that wasn't really in favor of emotion. You know, he was a very strong Pakistani man, wanted me to be tough and super confident and all the things, you know. Didn't really, if you cried, it was a bad thing, you know? Be tougher, be stronger, man up. All of these words followed me. And eventually it just took its toll when I suppressed a lot of how I felt. So there wasn't any safety. So I'd say two things. One, men don't feel safe enough to open up. And two, they don't really know how to because they've been suppressed for so many years.
And this is because of the stigma that men have to be that way?
Exactly, to be masculine means to be tough, to be strong, to not show emotion, to always be the one that can just handle whatever life throws at them. It's tough.
Where do you think that came from? And why do we have these myths or these stigmas in the first place? Where does it all come from?
I think it came from men needing to go to war.
Okay, interesting.
You know, if a man goes into war and he's an emotional man, he's not going to make a very good soldier. And I think that this, throughout the years, throughout the centuries, is something that was ingrained, that men are like this, needs to be tough, strong, powerful. And if they're not, they're not going to make a very good soldier. So I think it comes from wartime.
And this just shows how important it is to change, like to not stick onto a culture that worked at the time, but we need to evolve as time passes and not just stick on to what worked in the past, correct?
Exactly. And even then it might not have worked because they might have been great at war, but when they come home back to their families or anything like that, I can't imagine that those relationships were particularly healthy for the families, for the kids, for the partners.
Absolutely. And tell me, like, holding on to the stigma or holding on to this idea that you are not allowed to express your emotions, what did that do to you?
It meant that I was very angry. I was angry. So men are emotional. And anger seems to be the one emotion that is expressed often. But the world is afraid of a man's anger. And even men are afraid of their own anger. They lash out. So I lashed out. It would explode, you know, for over the smallest of things. When I used to go out, I used to look for fights. Not in a way that I actually want to fight anyone, but I was just angry, just ready to explode at someone. I would flip at the smallest things with my family. You know, I had a very harsh tongue. when we suppress our ability to be emotional and feel, it will eventually catch up with us. Whether we like it or not, it's going to come out. And it did. So anger was the main emotion that I felt when I couldn't express my pain or my sadness.
And was this something that you observed for other men as well?
I mean, we see it in our culture. We see it in TV. We see it in the news. We see it everywhere. Men are portrayed as emotionless beings. And we see them creating all kinds of trouble. Look at the wars that we have. Look at just the arguments that we see on the street. If I imagine myself when I was younger going out and partying or clubbing, there's always a fight happening outside a club. Because these men are suppressing their emotions. Their egos kick in to protect them. And it lashes out in all kinds of ways. The toxic side of masculinity is one which is an expression of their deepest desire to feel, but they don't know how to healthily express that. So it comes out in usually in frustration, in anger, in control, being overprotective, jealous, again, wanting to fight and being angry. There's so many modalities in which men express themselves in a toxic way.
So before we dwell, because I really want to get into toxic masculinity, but a lot of the traits that you described, there's a fine line between insecurities and masculinity, if that makes sense. Or is there a fine line? So before we dwell into that, let's just talk a little bit about masculinity. Mm-hmm. So what are masculine traits and what comes under masculinity? Or healthy masculinity.
Perfect. So in terms of healthy masculinity, someone that is living a life of purpose, they're driven, they're able to be grounded, which means they can hold themselves and those around them in times of trial, trouble, you know, without really getting too consumed by what's happening around them. A man that is comfortable in who he is able to take charge, is able to lead, but in the way of a leader, not a dictator. You know, able to support those around him, is a man of his word, has integrity, is honest with himself and also those around him, isn't afraid to challenge people around him, but in a way which is still with love and compassion. He's a man that knows his darkness, he knows his light, and he knows how he shows up in the world. That for me is what healthy masculinity
and
means.
Sorry, continue.
No, I'm just saying that's what I believe healthy masculinity means.
But it's so interesting how this, the qualities that you just described, does not necessarily have to just do with men. Women can also have these qualities. So masculinity is not just a trait for men, but also an energetic, I feel like an energy that all women can also have.
Yes, correct. Masculine and feminine resides in both of us. But as men, I would say heterosexual men, tend to be more polarized in masculinity compared to heterosexual women. When we can flow and there is polarity between the masculine and the feminine energies, that's where synergy thrives. And I think the men that I tend to work with are heterosexual guys that are lacking in healthy masculinity.
So tell me a little bit about the men that you help. How do they come to you and how do you help them?
So often the men that come to me are in a dark place. They're in a place where they don't know who they are.
Okay.
They don't know what they're doing with their lives. They might have it all on paper. You know, they got the successful job, they got the car, they got the partner, they've got all the money in the world, but they still feel like something's missing. They don't have any time. They don't have any pleasure. They're numbing themselves at the weekend, getting drunk at brunches. They have no morning routine. They have no structure to their lives. And deep down, they know that something isn't quite right, you know, or they're suffering because they're not in a relationship. They wish they were in one. They keep following the same toxic patterns where they get into relationships, they argue, they fight, and then they end up leaving. I think the main thing is they don't know who they are at all. And they see someone in me, which is someone that has been through darkness, going through darkness and coming out the other side, and they need help putting things in place, or often just someone to speak to. know, I have some clients that just want to speak to me once a week and just let it all out. And I have other people that want me to hold them accountable to make sure they're getting, you know, getting their morning routine in, that they're hitting the gym or they're eating right, or that they're working towards making a very important decision that they otherwise would have struggled to make.
So why is it that, so essentially you're someone who holds space for their outlet, right? So why is it that even now people feel unsafe to have that outlet, and what are they so afraid of?
Men are afraid of being judged for expressing their truth. So the key thing that comes up with my men is that they don't know how to express their truth. But I guess the reality is they know their truth, they're just afraid to say it.
And if they were to say it, then what would that mean?
So they're afraid of being let go. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of being judged. They're afraid of being laughed at. Maybe what they're saying is wrong in society. It's important that we own all of us, every single emotion, every single thought. If it is part of us, you know, own it, accept it. If there's something that needs to be worked on, we can work on it. But the reason why they find it difficult, especially in their relationships, is because they don't think their partner can actually understand what it is that they're feeling, thinking or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that might cause conflict. And men hate conflict. As much as they go to war, men don't want to fight. They'd rather run, you know?
So this would then mean it comes down to their confidence and self-esteem, right? So if one of any of our listeners who are listening to us now, if they can identify with what you're saying, and if they're in that very low place at the moment, they don't have that outlet, they want to express their emotions, they don't feel safe enough, they feel insecure, how do you go about building that self-esteem and that confidence in yourself that it's okay to express what you're feeling or your own your truth?
First of all, express it to yourself. Go there with yourself. Sit with yourself. Don't, when you're feeling sad or you're feeling angry or you feel, don't go and run somewhere that's going to numb you. Don't run. Don't grab the bottle of alcohol. Don't grab the comfort food. Don't sit there and binge and watch Netflix to make yourself feel better. Feel it. Sit there. Meditate on it. Just sit and think. Just observe. Observe your thoughts. Write them down. Go for a walk and think about it. Just allow yourself, first of all, to feel all the feels. And maybe find someone that you can speak to. And if that person is me, that person is me. But there must be someone in your life that you can speak to and just be honest, a best friend. Or maybe you can pick up the phone and call one of the hotlines, you know, Samaritan hotlines or whoever it's going to be, where you can just express your truth with no judgment. Let it all out. Just don't lie to yourself. If you can be honest with yourself, that's the first step.
And let's say you're in a situation where you've got everything, right? You've got your friends and everyone thinks a certain way. Let's say you've got your lads around you and you're feeling this way. How do you go about it? You don't want to be judged. How do you make that first step? You acknowledge it, you want to say it, but how do you influence the people around you? How do you come about being this version of yourself that you weren't before?
I find that most people actually want to listen.
Interesting. Yeah. Elaborate.
So I had a bunch of friends. There would be 6, 7 of us that would hang out frequently. And we'd go out for a few drinks and we tend to get emotional when we drink, right? Or I'd raise something and it wouldn't really land in the conversation because, you know, everyone would have a good time. But when I got them one-on-one and I did speak from the heart, I found that they were very much able to listen and they would also share with me. It might be a scary thing to do at the beginning, but I'd recommend anyone to lean into fear. We're only afraid because we're afraid of being judged. Right. And I can imagine many of those that are listening have done something that they were afraid of. And once they had done it, they felt great afterwards. Or at least they realized that, okay, it wasn't that bad. Lean into fear always. It's hard at first, but it's one of those things where you practice, you get better at it. The only side effect of speaking your truth is liberation. And once you can do that, you will feel a whole lot lighter.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about your journey in the sense, okay, you were in that dark place.
Mm.
How did you find your way to get out and change?
So years and years and years of being suppressed in my emotions and lashing out and being all kinds of toxic. When I tell you I was toxic, I jumped from relationship to relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a man that didn't really know himself only caused heartache for those around him. I was a man that cheated on all of my girlfriends, except my last one. And I spent money that wasn't mine. I emotionally ate. I didn't like my body. I lacked confidence. I felt alone, even in a group of friends. I always wanted people around me because I didn't like being alone. And even now I struggle being alone sometimes. It all got really bad with my family, and I was living at home until the age of 31, and I got kicked out of my house. And I actually harbored a lot of resentment that I didn't realize I had for being at home all those years. And when that happened, I ran away to Morocco for like a week retreat. It was a yoga and surfing retreat, just because I needed to get away. I was also going through a very difficult time in my relationship because I had cheated on her. She had found out, and we were just struggling to repair the relationship. And I wasn't getting the support I needed during that time. I was going through a bit of a depression. I didn't know it was depression at the time, but I felt really, really, really bad. So I went to this retreat, and I actually chose to go on that retreat because I wanted to be around like older people, those that, you know, one, I wouldn't necessarily go and be with emotionally or physically, but also to do something that's a bit more spiritual. But on this retreat, I found out that there was a Reiki healer as part of the retreat. And I'd never really done any Reiki before, but I thought, forget it, let's give it a go. And this Reiki healer took me on a 3-hour journey, which I now understand to be something called a family constellation, which I didn't know what it was only until now being in Dubai and
wow,
hearing about it. Where she took on the energy of my mother. And without me even telling her that I was having an issue with my mom, she took on the energy of my mom, and we talked about everything I was feeling about it. So I was able to express everything over the last 17 years that I hadn't expressed to my mom. All the resentment, all the anger, all the pain, all the love that I didn't get. So I felt like I was in a relationship with my mom where I gave her a lot of love and I didn't get anything back. Not in the way that I wanted. And what came out of that 3-hour session was an understanding that I didn't need to give everything that I gave, and that I could have, and I could give love back to myself. And that my mom did her best, and that years of trying to parent the parent doesn't work. Energy only flows one way. And to accept, you know, that I needed the love that I didn't get, and to give myself that love back. And the pivotal moment was when she gave me a sound bowl. Well, she handed me a sound bowl and said, you can take this back. And this sound bowl represents all the love that you gave your mom that you didn't need to, because she's fine. And I just cried. And I cried and cried and cried. And it was such an emotional release for me. And when I took that sound bowl back, I felt physically lighter. And in that moment, I also realized that, wow, I've been harboring a lot of emotion over these last few years. And a lot of it, I can imagine now how they attributed to my behavior, especially with women, which was a deep mother wound for the love I didn't get from her. And so I saw it in all the women in my life, but didn't really know how to receive it and didn't respect the women that gave it to me. So I continued to look for it in all the wrong places, even when I had someone that was important in my life. So I came away from this thinking, right, I need to now leave here, go home, and encourage men to speak. That was it. Because one conversation can change your life. And if I can encourage men to just open up a little bit, it could mean that they won't go around heartbreaking all over the place. And I guess expressing themselves through toxic masculinity and toxic behaviors. So that's kind of where it started.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing, Adil. I'm sure it must have been such an emotional journey for you as well.
Yep.
But as I was listening to you speak, I was also thinking about, we're talking about masculinity, but as we're talking about healthy masculinity, it's such a beautiful marriage between the feminine aspect as well, right? You cannot have healthy masculinity if it's not in conjunction with femininity and your inner feminine side. Is that correct?
I definitely believe so. The ability to nurture ourselves is important. And men don't know how to be compassionate with themselves. Most of the men, if many, many listening, I'm sure, have a very harsh voice in their head, the one that's self-critical. But if we can tap into our feminine and be kind and also take time for ourselves to, you know, practice some self-love.
How does that sound like, that self-nurture and self-love, that inner voice that you're talking about? How does that sound like for men.
So it can sound like, hey, you're doing a great job. You know, I know things can be difficult, but you're doing fantastic. Hard times come, but you're resilient enough to handle this. Or it could be, hey, listen, take a break. Go for a walk. Do something that you love today. Not every day has got to be hustle, you know. Okay, you didn't win that bid, or you didn't, I don't know, I can't think of anything right now, but, you know, there's things that don't always quite work out for us, and it's to understand that you don't have to be critical all the time. And also to understand, whose voice is that really? Is it your dad? Mm. Is it your mom? Is it your grandpa? Whose voice is that? Because often the critical voice is someone from our past, you know? And if we can look at all of these things, the key thing is observation. Yeah. Just observe. Observe your thoughts. It's not actually who, it's not you. It's just a thought in your head.
I love that. You've hit all the right points. I also want to ask you one more thing. What are some signs of toxic masculinity? Let's say you're in a relationship. Let's talk specifically about a relationship.
Yep.
If you're in a relationship, what does toxic masculinity look like?
Mm. So I would say, first of all, physical aggression mm-hmm. is a key one. What else? A man that is manipulative verbally.
Okay.
So a man that always wants to get his way. Mm-hmm. He can't be told no. A man that is jealous. A man that won't express his emotions, but will instead run, walk away, stay silent, reach for a bottle, or, you know, flip very easily. Toxic masculinity. It's a, especially in relationships. I mean, a man that's secretive is another thing, you know. If he's secretive in one area, he's generally secretive in many other areas. Yeah, I just think someone that you can see can't express truth and honesty. I would find that to be quite toxic.
Got you.
Yeah.
And what would your advice be for men like that? How do they get out of that rut? How do they change? What can they do?
The first thing is to listen to those around you. If someone is telling you something, especially someone close to you, they know you. They know you better than you think they do. For example, my family, they know me inside and out. And I used to be told often that my tone is harsh. My tongue is very sharp. And that's something I didn't listen to. I'd always defend myself. A man that's also someone that defends himself often and can't listen is also quite toxic, you know? Being able to listen is so important. So my first advice is listen to those around you, especially in your relationships. Your partners are your mirror. Hmm. They will only bring out the best in you. And it might look horrible at first, because when you're shown your mirror and you're shown your truth, it's not always nice, because your ego wants to protect you. But listen to those around you, first step. Then talk to yourself, journal, write down everything you're thinking and feeling. Sit with it, really look at it, and don't be afraid, you know, to challenge yourself, because I know after all those years, you built up a persona. This is who you think you are. And I'm going through many, many ego deaths about who I thought I was and who even now who I think I am and where I want to be. And then go and talk to someone about it. Those are my three steps.
So I love what you mentioned, and I really want to dive a little bit deeper into the word ego.
Okay.
How do you tone down the ego? So you mentioned a couple of steps. But I, from my observation and from the experiences I've had, toxic masculinity for me has a lot to do with ego as well.
So the ego is there to protect you, mm-hmm. right? The key thing is we don't need protecting anymore. Okay. Once we start to understand and really feel into who we actually are and our truth, we don't need it. We just show up in the world. And look, if you imagine those that walk into a room and they're like super confident without being arrogant, you think, wow, I wish I could be like this person. You think they're being quite egotistical, but they're not. They're just showing up as themselves.
There's okay? nothing that you need to protect.
Exactly. As someone that whose ego is very powerful, it's because they're generally very insecure about something.
There's something
yep.
that they perhaps don't want to reveal, or yeah. perhaps they're very insecure about.
Exactly. And this will come from all kinds of reasons. Trauma, or, you know, just some bad experiences, or just being afraid. You know, it could be a number of things. But when it comes to ego, yeah, the first thing is to understand who you are. first of all, and try and build that confidence in who you are too. That's a little bit of self-love. But I would say if you can come at life and those around you with love and compassion, you don't need to worry about an ego. For example, something I had to learn over the last 12 to 18 months in my last relationship, I noticed myself in arguments with my partner. And I realized that all these years, I've been trying to win arguments. Why? When you try to win an argument with your partner, no one wins. Trying to defend your position. No. Now my whole approach to this has now completely changed. Drop the ego. Just breathe into the moment and try to look at what you're doing. You're generally what I was doing. I was trying to argue with my partner about how I made her feel. Every emotion is valid. If your partner feels a certain way, or anyone, that could be your mom, your dad, your sister, could be anyone. If they're feeling a certain way because of an action that you've done, that is valid. They feel what they feel. You can't try and convince them that they don't feel what they do. Acknowledge, sit back, listen, breathe, feel them. Really try and feel this person because you love them. I know you do. Feel the situation. Really feel from their heart. Give them a hug. And try to look at how you can work together on a solution. But in the moment, it might just be that they just need to be heard. There's no need to win an argument. Come at the situation from compassion and heart. The ego isn't going to do you any favors. And you don't lose anything. A lot, we think as men that we need to make sure that we defend our position, you know, and we need to win that. Otherwise, we can't be seen as wrong. Men hate to be seen as wrong. Same way that men hate to ask for directions. We can't look like we're weak, right? We can't look like we don't know what we're doing. But it's okay, because we don't always know what we're doing.
I love that. I really, really do. The amount of awareness, observation that you need in those moments, especially when it comes to calming yourself down, finding that stillness in those moments that make you feel so uncomfortable. I think that takes a lot of self-control and self-awareness, correct?
Just breathe. I mean, you know, I did a video recently on how to have an argument, you know? Like simple things like don't raise your voice. Just if you need to take a moment, go take a moment. And one of the things that I find is that if men don't like being surprised with an argument or someone talking to them about, they want to talk about something right now, they're not ready. So I would say to the men listening, if this is you, go tell your partner or whoever it is that you wants to have a conversation with you that you need to take 10 to 15 or 30 minutes, go take a breather, go for a walk and come back. But make sure you come back and then have a conversation. You know, create some safe space where however that looks, maybe you're having a glass of wine together or you just, maybe it's somewhere neutral, maybe it's outside in the park, whatever you need. Safety is important. You know, with my last partner, we used to do this thing once a week called a love-in, where we would set aside an hour where we talk about anything we wanted to that's been building up in us for the week, good things, bad things, whatever. But we both knew that Thursday, 7 p.m. was our time to talk. So we were both prepared. We'd set the scene, we'd light some candles, put some music on, we'd get comfortable, we'd do some eye gazing, and it made all the difference.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
I'm not saying you can always plan your arguments, but you can plan some time to air things out so things don't have to build up.
I like that. Weekly check-ins.
Yeah.
Weekly check-ins. I love that. So now tell me, Adil, I know we could go on for ages and ages, but unfortunately, this is all the time I have for you. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to add or end this episode with?
I know it's difficult, especially for the men in Dubai. There's so many distractions. There's this hustle culture. There's things you could be doing every day, every week. There's this FOMO and there's someone that you want to be like or whatever it's going to be. And it can look like you're not where you should be. And it can make you feel small. It can make you feel low. You can think you're not doing something with your life. But I just want to say that you're doing fantastic. You're exactly where you need to be. Life doesn't have to be that serious. And if you're feeling like you're in a bit of a low point, observe it, write it down, speak it out to someone close to you, or you can reach out to me and just get it off your chest.
And where can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Adil Coaches Men. I'd say that'd be the best place to get me.
Got you. Well, thank you so much for everyone who tuned in today. And I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I know I did. Thank you so much for Adil for being with us here today. And we will catch you all next time with another speaker, with another topic. Until then, take care and stay safe.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.